here for a cup of tea?
That would be very pleasant, Lady Shrek.
Grace looked at him approvingly.
I'm glad to see some young people still have good manners. Do you want tea, Toby?
Actually, I could do with something a little stronger.
You'll have tea.
I'll have tea.
Grace pulled at a handy bell rope.
It'll take them a while, I'm afraid. You can't rush a good cup of tea, though heaven knows they'd try if I let them. They will keep telling me about this instant nonsense as though I cared. Some things just have to be done the right way, and that's all there is to it.
Have you been here very long, Lady Shrek? You seem very comfortable here.
Oh, I've been here since I was a young girl, for more years than I care to remember, young man. My brother Christian and his family joined me here for a while, and we had such a jolly time together. Till he disappeared.
Grace frowned.
I was always sure Gregor had something to do with it, but I could never prove anything. And there was the family name to consider. A scandal could have ruined us.
You never allowed anyone to even raise the subject before.
I was concerned that if one of you showed too much interest in Christian's fate, you might disappear too. It's only now, with Gregor's position so weakened, that I feel at all safe in discussing the subject, even in private. Christian and Gregor never got along. Well, that's no secret. They had a furious argument one day right here in this room. Christian stormed out and was never seen again. Don't press me for any further details, Tobias, because I don't have any. I wasn't even in the house at the time. Your mother, Helga, went out looking for Christian, and she too never came back. No trace was ever found of either of them. Sometimes I like to think they found each other and decided to stay hidden and safe. I like to think of them living happily together somewhere, in secret.
Then why did they never send for me?
Gregor had you watched all the time. You were bait. I kept you close to me, protected you as best I could, till I could find you a safe place at a boarding school.
Toby slumped somewhat and looked at the floor.
They went off and left me. They never came back for me. And like you, I never wanted proof that they were dead. As long as they were officially listed as missing, there was a chance they might turn up again someday.
His face had relaxed out of its usual harsh and cynical lines, and for a moment he looked rather lost and vulnerable. But the moment passed, and he was quickly his old self again. He looked up and fixed Grace with a steady gaze.
Why was I never sent to Blue Block, like many of my contemporaries?
Your father never approved of them, and Gregor still had a use for you. Not that he ever trusted them, either. Gregor always suspected the worst of everyone, and in Blue Block's case, it would appear he was right. The servant has become the master. Just another reason why I was forced into the political arena. The family must be protected from all outside influences and pressures, whatever the source. Ah, tea.
Toby and Flynn looked around to see a servant bearing down on them, carrying a silver teapot and fine china, milk jug, and cups on a silver tray. The teapot was very elegant, and the matching sugar bowl was practically a work of art. Right behind the servant came a young woman in a pretty dress, with a widely smiling face under shoulder-length golden curls. Toby rose quickly to his feet and went to meet her, also smiling widely, while the servant set out the tea things on a handy little table at Grace's side. Grace gave Toby and the young woman a knowing look and busied herself with the tray, nodding to the servant to withdraw. Flynn watched Toby interestedly as he took the young woman's hand in his.
Clarissa, you're looking very well, very well.
And feeling much better, thanks to you, dear Toby. The surgeons are removing the implants Lionstone put in me as fast as they can, but it's a long job. At least I have human eyes to see you with now.
And very pretty eyes they are, too. The hair's new, isn't it?
Oh, it's just a wig while my own hair grows back. You've done so much for me, Toby. I don't know how to thank you.
Oh, I'm sure he'll think of something. Now that's enough mawkishness for the moment, dears. Any more and you'll oversweeten the tea. Come and sit down while I pour.
Clarissa pulled up a chair right next to Toby's, and they sat down, still smiling at each other. Flynn smiled and nodded to Clarissa. Clarissa bathed him in her smile, too.
Hello, Flynn. How are you?
working overtime when I should be at home relaxing, thanks to my brute of a boss. Are you settling in happily here?
Grace looked firmly at the teacups.
Hard to tell. She spends most of her time in her room and jumps every time she hears a loud noise. The only person she talks to is Tobias, and that only over the view screen.
She's been through a lot. It's bound to take her some time to readjust. You haven't been bullying her, have you?
Oh, no. She's been very supportive. I have the very best surgeons. I don't feel like meeting anyone yet. Not till I'm all the way back to who I was, before Lionstone had me changed into one of her damned bodyguards. Then I'll think about mixing with people again.
Of course. Don't rush yourself. Take all the time you need.
I sometimes hear from other maids who were rescued. It seems a lot of them have been having trouble readjusting to being human again. Several of us have gone mad and have killed themselves, rather than remember what they were and what they did. I could never do that. It would be like giving Lionstone the final victory. But I understand why they did it. I don't know what I'm going to do with my life now. Even after the surgeons have finished with me, I don't think I could go back to what I was before. I need to do something with my new life, something to make sure that what happened to me could never happen again to anyone else.
Why not come and work with me at Imperial News? The Rebellion showed how much influence a truly free press can have. The news matters these days, and you could be a part of that.
Clarissa smiled even more widely at him.
Yes, I think I'd like that.
And then Toby's comm implant chimed imperiously in his ear, and he listened for a long moment, frowning fiercely, before rising abruptly to his feet.
Sorry, Clarissa, Auntie, but Flynn and I have to go, right now. Word is coming in that Robert Campbell has given up his captaincy, resigned from the fleet, and come home to Golgotha to re-establish his clan. He's due to arrive at the starport here any time now, and every news station in the city will be there to cover it. I've got a couple of stringers in place to represent us, just in case he gets in early, but this is something I really should be covering myself. If anyone can make the Campbells big again, it's a war hero like Robert. Come on, Flynn. Clarissa, I'll call you later.
But I've just poured tea.
Oh, dear, what a pity.
Robert Campbell stood very still in front of the full-length mirror and sighed deeply. He was being fitted for his first set of civilian clothes in years, and he'd forgotten what a pain it could be. The tailor fussed around him with a mouthful of pins, tugging here and adjusting there, with just a little more familiarity than Robert felt was strictly called for. Of course, a computer could have measured him and run up as many sets of clothes as he wanted, but in society it was considered essential that such things were done by hand, so as to allow for artistic insight on matters of taste. Fashion was far too important to be left to machines. Robert kept his opinions to himself, sighed a lot, and let them get on with it. Things had been very different in the fleet. They gave you a uniform when you enlisted, and it fitted where it touched. If you wanted a better fit, it was up to you to do something about it. One uniform, another for a spare, and a dress uniform for special occasions would see you through your entire career. But now that he was a civilian and a Campbell again, he had already been fitted for 12 different outfits, and they hadn't even got on to evening wear yet. Robert appealed plaintively to the servant he'd taken on to advise him on such things.
Is all this really necessary?
His butler, Baxter, was entirely unmoved.
It is a matter of fashion, sir, and therefore a matter of the utmost importance. In high society, a man is judged almost entirely by his appearance, and if you wish to be taken seriously as at head of your clan, it is imperative that you look the part.
My clan currently consists of a few dozen cousins and a handful of blood relatives. Barely enough for a decent soccer match, never mind a clan.
All the more important, then, that you look the part, sir. Society will take its cue from you. The greater the impression you make, the more they will respect your clan. Rebuilding your family will only be possible with the support of the other clans, and that will only happen if they see you as an equal. Try not to stand quite so stiffly, sir. The clothes need to hang naturally for the best effect.
Robert did his best to fall out of parade rest. It wasn't easy. None of it was easy. He'd taken pride in being a military man, and had given up his Navy career with only the greatest reluctance. after General Beckett had personally contacted him to make it clear Robert couldn't be loyal to both his family and the fleet. He would have to make a choice, commitment to one or the other. In the end, Robert knew his duty had to be to his clan and his blood, and centuries of family tradition. To think otherwise would mean that the rest of his family had died for nothing. So he gave up his treasured captaincy, resigned from the fleet, and returned to Golgotha to be the Campbell, and silently cursed his duty and his clan all the way down to the planet's surface. He hadn't realized the decision was of any importance to anyone but him until he disembarked at the starport of the Parade of the Endless and found a crowd of eager reporters waiting for him. Cameras shot back and forth around him at dizzying speeds, nudging each other for the best angles, and the reporters yelled out questions faster than he could answer them. Clan Campbell had been one of the main movers and shakers in the old empire, till it was decimated and scattered by Clan Wolf, and its potential reemergence was apparently big news. Robert had done his best to answer all questions, comments, and insinuations with monosyllabic grunts, all the time pushing steadily forward through the crowd, partly because he knew how reporters could twist even the most innocent remarks, and partly because he really didn't have anything to say. He was out of touch with current politics and family intrigues, and didn't want to say anything that might commit him to anything just yet. He especially didn't want to have to admit that he didn't have a clue as to just how he was going to rebuild Clan Campbell. At the time, he'd thought wistfully of Owen Deathstalker and Hazel Dark. Say what you might about them, and there was a lot that could be said, they at least knew how to deal with the press. Some reporters apparently demanded combat pay just to interview them. But those two could get away with things like that. They were Maze people. No one could make them do anything they didn't want to. Mere mortals like Robert Campbell, who might yet need the support of the press in the future, had a harder road to follow. The first thing he'd done, after he'd shaken off the news pack, had been to contact a service agency and hire the most experienced butler they had on their books. And he'd been lucky enough to get Baxter, who knew everything there was to know about society. A quiet, unassuming, but surprisingly firm man in his late 50s, Baxter was more than just a butler. He was a personal servant, a gentleman's gentleman, and privy to all the arcane secrets and rituals of aristocratic behavior. Even though he'd been in the Navy, man and boy, Robert had still visited his family enough to know the basics. But fads and fashions meant that everyday minutiae, by which proper behavior and social standing were judged, changed faster than any outsider could hope to follow. Which was, of course, the point. High society was meant to be elitist, complex and mysterious. How else could you tell who was in and who was out? Half the fun of being in was turning up your nose at those who weren't. Robert, the military man, saw the whole business as desperately childish, but he was still enough of an aristocrat to understand how seriously everyone else took it. He was the Campbell now, and he had to play the game. It was expected of him. The role of the families might have been altered by the rebellion, but some things never changed. He listened patiently while Baxter lectured him on etiquette and style and the correct way of shooting one's cuffs, on the latest dances and the latest gossip, and who might be expected to support or oppose him. If Clan Campbell really was on the way up again, there were a great many people who saw advantages to be gained by striking deals while the Campbell was still weak. There were just as many more who might try anything, up to and including assassination attempts, to prevent his rise and preserve the status quo and thus their own position. Just by becoming the Campbell, Robert inherited centuries of intrigues and feuds, old allies and enemies. In the families, no one forgot or forgave, unless it was expedient. Robert closed his eyes for a moment. He felt deathly tired. Yesterday, he'd been a captain in the Imperial Fleet with a glorious career ahead of him. He'd had everything he ever wanted. Now he'd given it all up to become something hated and despised because of his duty to a family that never really wanted him. Someone was going to pay for what he was going through, and it sure as hell wasn't going to be him. He'd be an aristocrat and play their bloody game, but he'd play it his way, by his rules, and the good God help anyone who got in his way. He realized that Baxter had stopped talking and looked around sharply.
Sorry, I was just resting my eyes. What is it? Did I miss something?
I was inquiring about the small portrait to your right, sir. It is the only portrait you brought with you, a most lovely young lady. Is she who I think she is?
Yes, that is she. That's Letitia.
Robert stared expressionlessly at the portrait in its silver frame, set on the mantelpiece beside the mirror. It was one of the very few personal possessions he'd brought with him, and all that was left from the last time the family had intruded into his life.
She was very lovely. I suppose everyone knows the story. It was a big enough scandal in its day. I almost married her. An arranged marriage, but I was fond of her. Given time, I might even have loved her. But at our wedding, it emerged that she was already pregnant by one of her guards. Gregor Schreck murdered her rather than let the wedding go ahead and dishonor his family. I would have saved her, but my family held me back. And I think that was when I learned to hate the families. All of them.
Family honor is a tricky business, sir. It is often difficult to know what to do for the best.
Gregor killed her, right in front of me. I would have killed him then if I could. I may still.
Then I fear you'll have to stand in line, sir. Gregor Schreck is not the most popular member of society just now. In fact, I would venture to suggest that genital warts are probably more popular than he is.
Good to see some things never change. And I suppose a society that hates Gregor Schreck can't be all bad. He can wait. I'll get round to him. Rebuilding the clan has to come first. That is why I came home.
Indeed, sir. And if I may be so bold,